a good number present today. We appreciate that very much. We have several visitors, and we welcome you as well, and invite you to get a Bible and join with us in this study. We have outlines are in the bulletin. If you haven't picked one of those up, I encourage you to do that on your way out. And we invite you back tonight again at 6 o'clock for another opportunity of worshiping together. We invite any questions that you have about what we study, what we do. We will do our best to let the Word of God instruct us and that we may follow it in faith in our lives. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one today. There's no better opportunity than this very moment for you to come to faith that Jesus is the Son of God and to confess that faith among men, to repent of your sins and to be baptized for the remission of those sins. He'll add you to His church and as the redeemed, and among the redeemed then to live as a disciple of His each day is a happy day of which we sung. And as we anticipate the eternal day where there will be no night forevermore. So we encourage you to do that. Encourage as Christians, if we have sin in our lives, let us go to God's Word and let us not only identify it, but let us eradicate it by repenting of it in our hearts. We might, through prayer and that confession of our sin to God, be forgiven. And we'll encourage that and certainly be happy to pray together if that's your need this morning. We've entitled our lesson this morning, Don't Be a Fool. Now, if I were to ask a show of hands, I suspect we wouldn't. None of us would raise our hands and say, I'm a fool. I mean, we don't identify ourselves as fools, do we? We certainly don't want to be fools. We don't think of ourselves as fools, or I hope we don't. And yet the Bible identifies and says that many fools exist. So at least we have to acknowledge there's a potential that we might be a fool. We have to consider that possibility and let God identify for us what is wise and what is foolish, so that that we will avoid that which is that is foolish. In fact, as Seth read for us in Proverbs 8, it is an appeal that wisdom makes as wisdom cries out to the naive, he says in verse 5, or the simple ones, to those who he identifies as fools, to come to an understanding heart. So a part of wisdom is the idea of an understanding heart. We've often heard the distinction between wisdom and knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge, we need wisdom to do what we know is right. We need wisdom to apply the knowledge that we possess. But this call for wisdom, or call by wisdom, to come and to come out of foolishness and be of an understanding heart, identifies some of the traits of wisdom. It says that wisdom aligns with truth. My mouth will speak truth. This is wisdom speaking, verse 7. So it speaks righteousness. It is plain to those who understand. There's a plainness to God's wisdom. There is wisdom aligns with what is right before God, and so we should value it more than choice silver and gold. Well, when we start thinking about, am I foolish or am I wise? The Bible gives me a starting place. The Bible says it begins with the fear of God. In Proverbs 9 and in verse 10. So if I'm going to assess myself this morning, am I a fool or am I wise? Then let's start there. Do I fear God or not? Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So a reverent regard for Jehovah God is kind of like the starting line. It's the beginning place. Now, the reverse then is also true. Where there is no fear of God, that's where foolishness begins. In Romans, the first chapter, verses 20 through 23, in the description of the Gentile mind and Gentile world that refused to retain God or have God in its knowledge, it refused the evidence of God's presence and power, verse 20, refusing the evidences of creation. It says, because they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. and change the glory of the incorruptible God into the image of like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And the development of idolatry. There was the refusal of the evidence of God's presence and power of His deity, and a refusal to glorify Him and be thankful to Him. And so they became fools. They professed their own wisdom, and by doing so and having no fear of God, no regard for God, they were foolish. So at the very beginning, if we really want to engage here for the next 30 minutes with the question, am I a fool or am I wise? Let's start right there. Do I fear God? Do I reverence and regard God above everything else? Is He in my heart, in my life? Is His Word the Word that I trust as being wise and being right and being righteous and more valuable, as we sang this morning, than fine gold? Or do I disregard God in my life? My daily life is I'm not thinking about God. I'm not praying to God. I'm not considering God's Word or God's will in myself and in my life with others. I mean, it gets practical. Fearing God is a practical matter of whether I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. So let's start there. In Proverbs 9, if we'll start there, and if we'll fear God, if we will hold Him in reverence and honor Him and yield our hearts and lives to Him, then we've got a good start. Proverbs 9 says that's going to bring blessing to us. Proverbs 9 and verse 11 says, in continuing that context, "For by Me," that is, by the fear of the Lord, "your days will be multiplied and the years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone." So fearing God and the wisdom that introduces into our life brings wisdom. Brings blessings. Brings an understanding that helps us live our lives in a way that can multiply our years. But he said at the same time, if we scoff at that, if we scoff at fearing God, then we will bear it alone. In other words, we will bear the result of that. We will not go unpunished. Whenever the Lord does come, as we sang a moment ago, it will be to reward His saints, and it will be to execute a just punishment upon the foolish, upon the sinners. So fearing God is the starting place to appreciate and to accept and to obtain blessings from God. And foolishness will not escape punishment. God knows the difference. God knows and God identifies the wise and the fool. In Luke 12, 20-21, you remember? Jesus taught a parable about the rich man, teaching a lesson about covetousness, that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he owns, that he possesses. And in summarizing that lesson, you know, the man who tore down his barns, he built bigger barns, and his soul was at ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to him, "Fool. Fool." God knew who he was. God knew he was a fool. Tonight your soul is required of you, and the things that you've provided, whose will they be? And so is he. Now Jesus says, here's the fool. "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Jesus says, you're a fool if you lay up treasure for yourself and if you're not rich toward God. Jesus said that. That's what he said, that's what he taught. Clear as day. So are we foolish or are we wise? What is the goal, objective? What am I laying up for in my life day by day? It is directly related to fearing God, honoring God, and identifying Him as sovereign, ruler, and Lord over all things, including me. So let's go through a few things that the Scriptures identify for us about the fool. Because we want to know who the fool is. We don't want to be a fool. So here's one. The fool despises wisdom and knowledge. He said in Proverbs 1, in verse 7, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So remember that? First of all, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we read. So if we want to obtain knowledge from God, we've got to fear Him. And then use that knowledge in a wise way. That continues the fear of God, from the fear of God. But now he says, look at the second half of that verse. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. The fool holds in contempt the instruction of God's knowledge and the wisdom that is revealed by Him in the Proverbs and in all of His Word, for that matter. Look at verse 22. Here again in wisdom's call, he says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity or ignorance or naivete?" He said, "How long will you love ignorance? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." Fools hate knowledge. They don't just say, "Oh, I could take your leave." He says, "Fools hate it." Now, how is that hatred identified? How does that show itself? Well, in this proverb in chapter 1, it's by not learning the wise instruction, by not giving ourselves to be a student of the source of knowledge that comes from God. Look at verses 1 and 2. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Solomon, blessed with great wisdom by God, the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. He says, "I wrote these proverbs as a way of knowing wisdom and understanding, grasping an understanding of life and of what God's will is for me." Look at verse 5. "A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel." So, if you want to be wise, don't hold learning in contempt. Don't say, "That's not for me." Don't say, "I don't need knowledge. I know everything I need to know about that." He said, the implication is, that's the answer of the fool. The fool despises knowledge. He hates knowledge. He goes on in that verse, verses 3 and 4, "The foolish will not receive or accept wisdom." He says, "I wrote these proverbs," verse 3, "to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." "I wrote these things so that you could be wise, so that you'd accept it." But you see, the fool despises wisdom. Verse 7 goes on to say that he doesn't learn it. He doesn't want to accept it. If our attitude toward the wise Word of God is, I don't need that. Now, we might not say that in so many words, but when we lay it, cast it aside and do our own thing, that's what we're saying. That's what we're living. That's foolish. The fool despises. The fool hates knowledge. Look at chapter 10 and verse 8. Proverbs 10 and 8 says, "The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall." The fool's going to fall. The wise in heart receives commands. The wise accept when God commands something, when His Word says it, accepts it as wisdom. But not just when God says something. I want you to see that Solomon, the wise man, said that it's wise to accept your parents' teachings. Of course, parents who are doing the will of God. Right? Proverbs 1, 8 and 9 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." My son, he goes on in chapter 10 and 1. To then make an application to that point. As he says, "Accept your father and mother's instruction and teaching." Chapter 10:1 says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." Now, who's the wise son? Well, he's the son who accepts his father's instruction, who doesn't turn away from the law of his mother. But the foolish son is a grief to the mother, because you see, that son acts foolish in rejecting and despising and hating the wisdom and the knowledge. Now that's what God's Word describes. So children, accept your parents' teachings. They are trying to not only teach you knowledge, but teach you wisdom. To make choices of life that will be righteous and helpful to you and a blessing to you. But the fool, you see, the fool hates knowledge instead of fearing God. That same chapter 1, 28 through 32, or 33, he sums it up this way. This is wisdom talking, Proverbs 1, 28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. Now, the then he's talking about is when the day of destruction comes, when the day of reckoning comes, I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they'll not find wisdom on the day when the reckoning comes. Why is that? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Wisdom is very clear in what she says here. When you hate knowledge, when you don't choose to fear God, the day of reckoning will come when your foolishness will heap destruction upon you. You'll plead for wisdom in that day and you'll have none of it because you made foolish choices and now there is the reckoning. So what should we do? We ought to make the decision now not to be a fool. We have opportunity now. God's given us a chance now, before it's too late, not to despise wisdom and knowledge. To begin with the fear of God, hear His Word, follow His will, make choices that are wise and righteous, rather than the deadly choice of foolishness. The fool's heart is darkened with unbelief. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalms 14 and verse 1, familiar verse. Ephesians 4 elaborates, verses 17 through 19, as it describes the heart of the lost and those who are wrapped up with the sins of the world. It says, I therefore testify to the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. He says their hearts are darkened with ignorance. There's ignorance in them. Foolishness. A lack of understanding in the heart of the unbeliever. Well, because you see, that's the person who doesn't seek God. Go back to Psalm 14:1. We know the first verse, right? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But look at what he goes on to say about that person. Why is he foolish? Well, he's foolish for saying there's no God, but look what happens. Verse 2, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They've altogether become corrupt. There's none who does good, no, not one. See, the fool does not seek God. He says there is no God. So he's not looking for God. He's not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because he says, there's no God. There's no God that I have to respond to, that I have to be responsible to and answer to and follow. No God. The fool does not consider God in the things that he does, in his normal affairs of life. He doesn't think about God. Psalm 10 and verse 11. He has said in his heart, and he's speaking here of the wicked, the foolish, he said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides His face. He will not see. That's what the fool convinces himself, that God's not interested. God doesn't care. We put it that way. The fool convinces himself, it doesn't matter to God. He doesn't care. He hides His face. He will not see. That's foolish. God sees all things. God knows all things and God cares. You see, but the fool's not rich toward God. His heart becomes darkened in unbelief. The man who was wrapped up in his covetousness was a man of unbelief. God said, you're a fool. You don't consider me. You don't consider my will. You seek your will first. And in that, you're going to be destroyed. The fool's heart is darker. Is there unbelief in your heart this morning? I mean, are there some areas in your life you just don't trust God? Start denying God? That's what the fool does. The fool denies God. We want to be wise. We have to acknowledge and seek after God in all things. But the fool, on the other hand, is self-deceived. Now this is, you know, it's sort of like, well, you know, the fool comes by naturally because he deceives himself. You know, he finds the place where he's comfortable and he deceives himself, right? Let no one deceive himself. If any among you seem to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For as written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. They're futile. You see, the fool relies upon the wisdom of oneself. And that's what he goes on to explain in that passage. Therefore, let no one boast in men. See? You build your case upon your own wisdom, that's your downfall. Because you built it on pride. You build it on self. Pride is the fool's downfall. He's not seeking God. He's not putting God first. He doesn't fear God. And so, in his unbelief, and he's deceived that he has the answers. That he's the one. And that even if it's not, you know, God doesn't really care anyway, or I'll deal with that later. I'll think about God on down the road by and by. And he convinces himself that's okay. Blinded by pride, the fool's way is right, regardless of truthful, wise, scriptural counsel. And that's the tragedy of it. You see, the fool is said in his the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, Proverbs 12 and verse 15. But he who heeds counsel is wise. See, fool's right in his own ways, in his own eyes, in his own concept. But the wise person heeds counsel, listens to instruction, listens to a knowledge of the Lord and the wisdom that comes from God. The fool is self-deceived, and in that self-deception is destroyed for his foolishness. So what we need to do is to submit ourselves to God. Really, you know what the fool does? He becomes his own God because he's blinded by his pride that he's right. You know, when we're blinded by pride and we're right, we've really elevated ourselves above what God says is right. Remember Rehoboam? young King Rehoboam. He was the son of the wisest man who ever lived. Solomon. Son of Solomon. King over the kingdom. The people came to young King Rehoboam and said, "Your father made our yoke heavy. If you'll lighten it, we will serve you." And he consulted the counselors of Solomon, and they said, "How do you advise me?" Now imagine the advisors of Solomon. Yeah, Solomon had advisors. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Solomon said that he had counselors. He was wise. So Rehoboam goes to those counselors. "What should I do?" And they spoke to him and said, "If you'll be a servant to these people and serve them, and answer them and speak good words to them, they'll be your servants forever." That sounds like good advice. But he rejected their advice, verse 8 says. He listened to the young men he grew up with. Because they had a wealth of knowledge, of understanding, and by their great experience, right? Who older and wiser man, right? He went to his contemporaries. They didn't have the training and the knowledge, the wisdom of experience and understanding. They said, "Make it heavier on them. You show them who's boss. You show them that you're king and you set the rule." He heeded their advice and it caused civil war. The country was divided. You see, he was blinded by his own pride. He rejected wise counsel. He was right in his own eyes. And it led to much, much trouble in Israel. Good lesson for us. You see, what we think is the wisest course is not always the right, wisest course. We need to listen to the counsel of righteousness and to righteous counselors. We need the instruction that comes from a fear of God, a knowledge of God, and a careful use of His Word and His will. But the fool, he takes a beating rather than admit sin. He'd rather take a beating. He'd rather keep on than just correct himself and avoid the beating. Look at Proverbs 19. I'll illustrate this for you here. Proverbs 19 and 29. What we're really talking about here is he's not able to admit that he's wrong. That's what the fool is. Proverbs 19:29 says, "Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and beatings for the backs of fools. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink a brawler, and whoever errs thereby is not wise." So the fool who is led away by wine and strong drink is the same as the one who lays bare his back and says, "Give me a beating." And if he defends it, he says, "Give me some more." Because you see, he's interested in personal vindication more than what's virtuous. He calls good evil and evil good. Isaiah 5, 20 through 25. That's what the fool does. The fool says, "Moral purity? Ha! Marriage for life?" The fool scoffs. "Don't drink? Ha!" You see, that's what the fool does. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." He goes on there and says that fire would devour them. He says, "Woe to the man who's mighty at drinking wine, and those valiant in mixing intoxicating drinks, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man." He's interested in the vindication of himself at his own benefit to the detriment of others. "Therefore fire devours the stubble," verse 24, "because they've rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." See, the fool, he says, "I'm going to establish what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil." And he always has a personal angle. It's all about him. The fool takes the challenge, takes pride in challenging the truthfulness of God's Word and God's warnings. As in Proverbs 19, 29 and 20 and verse 1. "Whoever errs in wine and strong drink isn't wise." But how many Christians today defend it as wise, as acceptable, as okay? It's like, "Beat me. Do it again. I like it." When God says it's foolish. But the fool would rather take the beating than admit the sin. The wise father warns his son, "Don't lust after the woman." The foolish son says, "That's not going to bother me. That's all. You only live once." See, the fool does that. The fool begins to justify himself rather than correct himself and change. And this goes to another point about the fool. The fool repeats his sin and expects different results. The fool mocks at sin. He expects, in fact, Proverbs 14:9 says, "Fools mock at sin." They make sin a sport. Proverbs 26, 10 through 12. Proverbs 26, 10 through 12 says, "The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him." Now, we're familiar with the dog returning to his vomit from 1 Peter 2 about the Christian who falls back into sin, falls away. But this is where it's drawn from. God says that for a fool to repeat his folly is like the dog returning to his own vomit. You see, the fool repeats his foolishness. He mocks at the sin. But God's going to return one's due. You see, and verse 10 says, you're going to get your due reward. God gives the fool his hire, the transgressor his wages. The wages of sin is death. If we choose the course of foolishness, we're going to get the result of that foolishness. We'll lose our souls eventually. And in the meantime, our way will be hard. Proverbs 13:15. Now verses 11 and 12, though, with this the fool who's repeating his folly, going back to the vomit, it's kind of like, you know, you're in a hole and you keep digging. The fool would rather keep digging rather than just admit, I'm in a hole, I need to stop digging and change. Dan gave me the illustration this morning. He's watching something online. I told him, Dan, raise your hand when it's time for this illustration. He's watching something online this morning about a social experiment, if I understand it right, where people went out and asked questions of the public. What do you believe it's wrong to say that two people of the same sex can't marry? Something like that. Basically that. Same-sex marriage. Oh, that'd be discriminatory. That'd be biased. You can't be biased. That would not be correct. And he said, well, what about incest? And they said, oh, that would be wrong. He said, well, you don't agree with incest? Aren't you being bigoted and biased? And as it went on, if I'm relating, Dan can give you all the particulars. Then the person being questioned, in an effort to be consistent with his thinking, before it all said and done, was at a point where he said, well, I guess incest would be okay. Now that's foolishness.
Amen.
You see, but what happens? Pride, instead of admitting, well, my thinking's just not right, there's some problem here with this logic, with this application, I'm going to just keep digging, and I'm going to convince, see, I've got to vindicate myself, I've got to, you know, because I'm going to be right in the matter. And just keep on digging. Saul, King Saul, admitted to David, you're more righteous than I am. David could have killed him in the cave, and he cut off a piece of his robe and said, here, King, I don't wish you any harm. Why are you chasing me all over the countryside trying to kill me? And Saul admitted his wrong in the matter and asked for David's blessing. You know what happened? It wasn't for long, King Saul turned right around and went back out and tried to kill David. The fool, you see, and that kind of blends these two points. On the one hand, the fool, he'd rather take a beating than admit his sin and correct it. He just keeps on doing the same sin over and over again, expecting something different to happen. That's foolishness. When we find our sin, when Nathan told David, you are the man, King David admitted his sin. He acknowledged it to God. Yeah, he'd sinned in several ways, but he acknowledged it. King Saul wouldn't. You see, he showed himself to be foolish. We find sin, we need to stop it. Thinking, we can't just say, well, I'm going to keep on doing it and think something good's going to come out in the end. It won't. The fool does not prepare for the Lord's return. Matthew 25:1-13, you remember the parable of the five foolish virgins, the five wise virgins? The five who prepared, they brought oil with them when the bridegroom tarried, and then when he came, they were prepared and they entered the wedding feast. But the five foolish virgins didn't have enough oil for their lamps. And so as they went out to buy more, he came and they were left out. And Jesus' lesson in the text was one of preparation and watchfulness. He said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. He will return. He will either receive us because we've been watchful and ready into the eternal kingdom, or we will be shut out because of our foolishness. You see, the fool values independence and self-reliance more than relying upon God. I think that's maybe at the underneath some of this. Why is it we don't prepare for the Lord, for the things of God? That we're not ready Could it be that we value our own independence and our own self-reliance too much instead of really putting our trust in the Lord and really relying upon Him? At least we have to assess that possibility. In Proverbs 28:26, I think it teaches us to assess that, because it says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, and whoever walks wisely will be delivered." So I'm a fool if I trust my own heart. If my own emotion, if my own decisions, my own wisdom, myself, if I become the arbiter of right and wrong, of good and evil, of wisdom and foolishness, rather than God, I won't be prepared. See, whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Why? Because he doesn't trust his own heart. He trusts the Word of God, the way of God. I know that the man, he said, "Oh Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. The man who directs his own steps is a fool." Proverbs 28:26. So, and that's the person who relies upon himself more than God. So could it be that those five virgins and their foolish lack of preparation, they just thought everything would be okay? It'll all work out the way I think so. I mean, they did have some oil in their lamps. That'll be enough. It'll be okay. Everything will be fine. No preparation. And they're left out. They lose their souls. See, the fool fails to watch and prepare for danger. Watch therefore how you walk. Walk circumspectly. Ephesians 5:15. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Fool prepares, is ready, is watchful around us every day. The wise person is watchful every day. The fool doesn't watch. Fool's not ready for the devil's attack. Not watchful. Not aware. Not wise. And so he devours the fool in his foolishness. And finally, the fool hears Christ but does not obey Him. Fool hears the words of Jesus but doesn't do anything about them. See? Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine but does not do them, I will liken him unto the foolish man who built his house on the sand. Rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall, because they heard my words and did not do them." It's not that the fool doesn't hear them, it's just he doesn't accept them. The fool often, he knows what the truth is. He may even know he ought to do that, but he chooses not to. He hears what Jesus says, but he doesn't do them. That's foolish. When the Word of Jesus says to do something. Because you see, the fool, he may know the judgment of God, but he continues in his sin. He even approves those who practice sin themselves. Look at that as we bring this to a conclusion. Isn't it? You know, sometimes it's not that, well, I'm going to do what Jesus says, but and not only sometimes saying I'm not going to do what Jesus says, but I'm going to approve those who are not doing the will of God. Romans 1:32. He's describing those who've already shown themselves to be foolish, isn't he, in this context? Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice these things are deserving of death, not only do the same things, but also approve of those who practice them. So, here's somebody who knows God's judgment. Knows God's Word, God's judgment on the matter, and yet he practices sin. He violates God's judgment. And he approves of those who do. That's a fool. Jesus said that's the fool. He's building a house on sand and it's going to collapse. He's not going to be prepared in the day of destruction. And it'll be too late to cry out to wisdom then. Because you said you'd have none of wisdom of hearing and doing the will of Jesus. No, you're going to go your own way. And in doing that, your soul will be destroyed. Now, if we want to assess whether or not we're wise or foolish, these are some ways we can do it. The fool despises a knowledge and wisdom of God. The fool has a heart darkened in unbelief. The fool is self-deceived. The fool would rather take a beating than admit sin and correct it. The fool repeats his sin expecting different results. He does not prepare for the Lord's return, and he listens to, but he will not do what the Lord says. Are we going to be foolish or are we going to be wise? God's ways are infinitely wiser than ours. Infinitely wiser. Romans 11, 33 through 35, as we close our thoughts here. Look at this passage. It talks about God's wisdom in contrast to you and me. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord and become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him and it should be shall be repaid to Him? God didn't receive His wisdom from us. We must receive ours from Him. His wisdom is unsearchable. His judgments beyond our ability. What we must do is yield ourselves to them. I did want to close with this passage, Psalm 94, 8 through 15, and reminding us that the word of the cross is God's power to save. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 25. Remember, he says that I'm going to put to foolishness the foolishness of the wise through the gospel. The word of the cross is to those who perish foolishness, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Wisdom is found in the gospel and hearts and lives that will believe it and obey it. So look at the call that God makes here as we close in Psalm 94. And if you need to obey the gospel, we hope that this will be the time you'll do it, that you'll yield to the wisdom of God, that you'll in faith repent and be baptized, be saved from your sin, and then live a wise life. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 94, and beginning in verse 8, says, "Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear..." Now, see, we have to admit we're foolish if we're ever going to be saved. If we're ever going to be saved, we have to admit that we've been fools. "He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the ear, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge? The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it." The upright in heart cast away foolishness. God knows our thoughts, knows our ways. Let us yield to Him, obey His gospel, be saved in His Son, and then live wisely as He gives us time on this earth. Won't you come and obey the Lord while we stand and we sing?
Days are filled with sorrow and care.